Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation. Bonjour, Anine, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I'm SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from the studio of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. We have another great show lined up for you. Today, we continue our series on healthcare with a look at the work SCO is doing on the health front, particularly when it comes to harm reduction and health transformation. Our guests today are Michelle Monkman, Senior Harm Reduction Specialist for the Southern Chiefs Organization, along with Carlene DeBance and Grant Humphrey from our Health Transformation Team. Today's show promises to be an informative and hopefully a transformative half hour. We are so glad you have chosen to spend it here with us on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. Today is International Women's Day. We are blessed to have so many incredible, strong women working with the Southern Chiefs Organization. I am pleased to be joined by two of these women today, including our first guest, Michelle Monkman. Welcome, Michelle.
Tansa, I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to talk to you today.
Michelle, you are the Senior Harm Reduction Specialist for SCO. Can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. My name is Owastainamagu, which is translated as Bringer of Light. My English name is Michelle Monkman. I grew up in Kinosau CP Cree Nation, and I am a wife, a mother to four, and a gugu. I have been a nurse for almost 20 years, and I graduated with my Master of Nursing with a leadership focus from Athabasca University in 2022. I worked in a few Southern First Nations throughout my career, Lake St. Martin, Kinajestagon, and Sioux Valley. Early in my career, I worked in the Healthy Sexuality and Harm Reduction Team with the Winnipeg Regional Health Authority, where I developed a deep passion for harm reduction. After I left that job, I always said if the right job ever came up in harm reduction, that I would take it. I have been waiting since then for harm reduction to grow in our communities. Having the opportunity to be a part of this initiative is my dream.
Please tell us a bit more about the work you do at SCO. And for those who haven't heard of the term harm reduction before, what does that mean?
Well, harm reduction is a public health strategy, and it's actually quite broad. We have all practiced harm reduction in some capacity. A couple of quick examples include using a seatbelt while driving or using a life jacket while boating. For the purposes of today, I'm going to talk about harm reduction in problematic substance use. So harm reduction is client-centered, non-judgmental, and meets individuals where they're at. It does not require a person to stop using drugs or to be abstinent as a requirement for services. It is the inherent belief that we are all deserving of care, no matter our choices. The approach of harm reduction creates opportunities for increased connections between those who are struggling with problematic substance use and healthcare providers. It is for these reasons that we say that harm reduction is love. Harm reduction includes education on reducing stigma and asks that we consider how our own biases can impact our responses to those who use drugs. Harm reduction involves education on and the distribution of Narcan, which can be a life-saving medication when someone has an overdose. Harm reduction includes education and supplies to promote safer inhalation practices, safer injecting practices, and safer sex practices. A robust harm reduction program will also offer testing for sexually transmitted and bloodborne infections. But most importantly, a First Nations harm reduction approach focuses on reducing the harms of colonization and therefore should be present in some capacity in all health programs.
Thank you for sharing that. Can you continue to just expand a bit more on harm reduction and why it's important for the health and wellness of First Nations people?
Well, many of our people who use substances are sick and they're suffering alone in silence. A harm reduction approach means bringing those individuals to the table and asking them how we can best support them. This might mean that we provide them with Narcan or harm reduction supplies, things that will help to keep them alive while they're actively using. Narcan that's sitting in our healthcare facilities is not going to help during a drug overdose. We need to get Narcan into the hands of those who are using drugs. As we start to build trusting relationships with individuals using drugs, we can start to move them along the continuum of wellness. We need to have broader conversations in our communities and talk about substance use within our families and communities. There's still so much stigma related to drug use in our communities. We need to change this narrative and return to our values that we all have strengths and gifts. We all know and perhaps love someone who uses drugs. We have all been impacted by the loss of someone to overdose. I left a funeral today for my niece who died from overdose and leaves behind two children. You know, stats from Manitoba Justice show that from January to October 2023, there have been 355 suspected drug-related deaths, putting us on track to meet or exceed the 418 suspected substance-related deaths in 2022. Many overdose deaths can be prevented through effective harm reduction programming.
Thank you for sharing this, Michelle. I want to talk a bit about the high rates of substance misuse in our nations. I know that many of our communities are struggling. For those who don't understand the connection between colonialism and substance misuse issues, can you reflect on that a little bit for us?
Sure. We know that our people have been impacted by intergenerational trauma as a result of colonization and the assimilation-based policies imposed by the federal government. This includes things such as the residential schools and the 60s scoop. We continue to see the impacts of colonization. For example, the national emergency of missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls and 2S, and in the overrepresentation of our people in the justice system and the child welfare system. Through colonization, our health and wellness as First Nations people has been negatively impacted. In virtually every measure of health, First Nations lag behind as compared to all other non-Indigenous Canadians. Justice Murray Sinclair coined what has happened to our people as cultural genocide. When individuals do not have a strong sense of identity or connection to culture, they can really struggle with wellness. That's why it's so important that our First Nations health systems have elements of cultural practices embedded within them. It is vital that a reclamation happen in our traditions and languages, and that's really a central piece in our healing journeys.
Very, very, very helpful information. Thank you so much, Michelle. Can you tell us a bit more about what SCO is doing in the area of harm reduction, and how do you incorporate the cultural knowledge into your work? And what kind of services and support do we offer to our nations?
In all of the work that I do, I use a two-eyed seeing approach. So I integrate the strengths of our own systems, our own ways of knowing and doing with evidence-based literature and approaches. So our team is available to support SCO communities in developing or strengthening their harm reduction and prevention programming. We know that communities have the answers, and their approaches to wellness will differ as each of our communities are distinct. They are the experts in the health of their communities, and we are just here to walk alongside them and support them as best we can. The SCO Harm Reduction Team is available to deliver culturally safe and evidence-based education. The plan is to use a train-the-trainer approach in all of that education. We will provide the developed education to the communities to adapt it to their community and use it as needed. We are currently looking at ways to bring in more robust services related to both harm reduction and healthy sexuality. All communities should be able to offer the same level of public health services that are available within our provincial systems. Right now, we know there's large gaps. We can supply life-saving Narcan in addition to other harm reduction supplies free of charge. We're working hard to develop processes so that communities can order those supplies directly. We're developing education so communities understand how to use the supplies and know how to provide the education to individuals when distributing those supplies. Next week, we're going to be hosting a two-day gathering for the NADAP workers and all of the communities. The focus is on harm reduction 101 to ensure we are bringing everyone to the same understanding of what harm reduction is. We also have our land-based healing fund as part of our holistic harm reduction approach. Communities can apply for $25,000 to provide opportunities for those struggling with substance use to seek that healing on the land. There are still a number of communities that have not yet applied for this fiscal year, so please connect with me if you have not yet applied for that funding.
Michelle, this is great. I hope many of our nations will use these services. And thank you for sharing your knowledge with us today. Is there anything else that you think we should add?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, send the message that implementing effective harm reduction programs requires open minds and open hearts. I humbly ask communities and our leadership for this openness, and please know that I'm always open to having a conversation about it.
Michelle, I want to thank you for coming into the studio to chat with me today and with our listeners to hear from you. Today is International Women's Day. And as we go to break, I'd like to invite you to introduce one of our female artists from an SCO nation.
Thank you, Grand Chief. It was really good to join you today. Now, as we go into break, I would like to introduce you to singer-songwriter Kristen McKay from the Pine Creek First Nation. In addition to being a songwriter, Kristen is also a nursing assistant. Here, she is with her song, No More Good Times, which she dedicates to missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, Two-Spirit, and gender-diverse people. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats on International Women's Day.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, and you're listening to Fireside Chats. In this part of the show, we are going to explore what we are doing when it comes to closing the 11-year life expectancy gap between First Nation citizens and all others living in Manitoba. SCO has been working to establish a new healthcare model where First Nations leadership and healthcare professionals have increased self-administration, self-determination, and self-governing authority. The overall title for this work is Health Transformation. The SCO has created an entire department that is devoted to this critical work for our nations. Two people joining me today from Health Transformation are Carlene DeBance, the Chief Executive Officer of SCO's Health Transformation Department, and Grant Humphrey, SCO's Vice President of Health Infrastructure and Development. Grant and Carlene will help us learn more about the initiatives that SCO has undertaken to transform healthcare delivery to our peoples and nations. Carlene and Grant, welcome to Fireside Chats.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're both fairly new, a few months for Carlene, and I know Grant just started recently, to SCO family. Carlene, can you tell us, start by telling us a bit about your interest in health and what brought you to SCO?
Thank you, Grand Chief. I worked for 19 years with the provincial government, particularly in the infrastructure realm, and I worked in the not-for-profit housing sector as well. And knowing what Southern Chief Organization has been doing in health transformation has really interested me, and it is remarkable in terms of reconciliation and working towards a really inclusive healthcare model.
Thank you, Carlene, and welcome to SCO. Grant, you started in your new role with us earlier this week. I want to personally welcome you to the SCO family. I understand you will be working to ensure that our nations have the proper equipment and infrastructure to properly deliver healthcare to our citizens. Can you please tell us more about your background in healthcare, Grant?
Sure. In my career, I've had several roles where I've had the opportunity to work with a variety of different sectors in healthcare, medical research, and the biotech sector. I've worked with scientists and helped source equipment for the National Microbiology Lab here in Winnipeg. I've worked in the OR with the urologists, and I developed a hypodermic needle for the veterinary field. I've sold medical equipment, laboratory equipment, and point-of-care devices in both the human and veterinary markets. For the last 4.5 years, I've worked with Spirit Healthcare Group. We had a contract with FNIB to fill prescriptions for the 22 northern communities, and we also sourced and supplied medical equipment and supplies for the home and community care programs in all 63 First Nations communities.
Grant, what would you say is your prime motivation when it comes to health transformation for our nations?
You mentioned it a little bit earlier. The 11-year gap in life expectancy is by far the most motivating factor for myself when it comes to transforming the broken primary healthcare system in Manitoba. Systemic racism is another reason why we must improve the delivery of primary healthcare in the 34 communities that make up SCO.
Carlene, I'd like to ask you the same question. What is your prime motivation when it comes to health transformation for SCO nations? In your opinion, what would a healthy First Nation look like?
Currently, you know, the legislation, there's policies and structures. They've created a health system that is rife with systemic racism and discrimination. And we're trying to close that 11-year gap in life expectancy between First Nations in Manitoba and other Manitobans. And SCO and the health transformation team is working very closely with communities and with individuals to close that gap and to ensure that we are incorporating a holistic approach and working very closely as well with all of our communities to develop an inclusive healthcare system model.
Let's start looking at solutions. Please tell me some of the work that SCO health transformation team is focusing on these days.
We have recently been working on some demonstration projects, and one in particular that has just been recently announced was training community members in their communities. And this is part of our health workforce strategy as well, and ensuring that there is staff on site in community and making sure that they're providing the services where they are not primarily involved in or available. And this is also helping, participants to learn and practice clinical skills close to home. And we have also begun the process of establishing the governance model that will include that workforce strategy in community.
Thank you, Carlene. Your team is doing a lot of important work. I look forward to seeing it have a continued positive impact on our nations. Grant, I want you to revisit the fact First Nations people in Manitoba currently live shorter lives than non-First Nations people. This is a very tragic, tragic situation as many of us lose our loved ones prematurely. What are some of the gaps when it comes to proper equipment, technology, and healthcare infrastructure? What will you be doing when it comes to identifying, addressing those infrastructure inadequacies?
That's a really good question. When Manitobans outside of a First Nation community go to a doctor's appointment, they often need to get blood work done. They might need a chemistry panel or a CBC done. All they have to do is walk down a hall and head into the lab. This is not the case in the 34 communities that make up SCO. They have to get in a car and they have to drive to the nearest lab, which could be an hour or two away from their home. We need to look at how to improve the quality of care and the management of diseases and illnesses in the community. Unfortunately, diabetes is an epidemic in First Nations communities. One way to monitor this disease is to have your A1C measured. A1C is one of the most common tests used to diagnose pre-diabetes and to monitor diabetic patients. This test should be done every 3 months. So every community should have an A1C analyzer in their health center. We need to look at how point-of-care analyzers can be utilized to immediately improve primary care at the health center level. So things like blood chemistry, complete blood count analyzers. There's a new piece of technology called the MESI-M tablet. On this device, we can put a bunch of different apps on it. We can do EKGs, we can do spirometry testing, we can do ankle or toe brachial pressure testing for peripheral arterial disease and things like pulse oximetry.
Thank you, Grant. Carlene, I understand that Health Transformation Team is planning a special SCO gathering here in Treaty 1. Can you please tell us about this event? Who is the event for and what can people expect when they attend the event?
Oh, yes, we're looking very forward to this event. It's on March 19th, and to March 21, and we're looking at reconciliation and decolonization of the healthcare system in Manitoba, specifically for the 34 Southern First Nations. And this conference is really geared to health directors, chiefs, anyone in organizations and not-for-profit organizations that have an interest in making a difference. We have speakers internationally coming in from Australia, the US, BC, Toronto as well. And we're looking really forward to having a good conference and good dialogue at this gathering in March.
Thank you, Carlene. If anyone is interested in registering for this event, they can visit our website for more information. I want to ask Grant a question about his extensive domestic and international experience when it comes to health-related procurement. What kind of things are you focusing on in the first few months in the job to help transform and improve health for First Nations that relates to this?
I will be working with the health directors and nursing staff to figure out what each center's unique needs are. In all the communities, they have different set of circumstances, so we really need to drill down on each community and what their health directors need. We know that the nurses have a huge workload, so we need to explore technology like e-health. When we run a test on a point-of-care analyzer, we need to have the results interpreted immediately by a doctor so that we can figure out what the next steps are. Currently, right now, we're working on a pilot project where we have three people being trained in phlebotomy through Red River College. When this training is finished, we'll have three brand new technicians that can draw blood at the health center in Lake Manitoba First Nation. Dialysis is another major issue, as our people have to travel 3 to 4 hours, 3 days a week to HSC in Winnipeg. They might have to drive to Portage la Prairie or Brandon to receive this life-saving dialysis. We're looking at the feasibility to place a dialysis pod in a community where 4 or 5 other communities that are near that center could drive to receive their dialysis in a First Nation community.
Grant Humphrey, Carlene DeBance, I once again want to welcome you to SCO. We're so fortunate to have you both with us. It has been great chatting with you, and I wish you so much success in your work. Our people's lives really depend on it. And thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Thank you, Grand Chief.
Thanks, Grand Chief. Pleasure to be here.
And that's going to be it for this edition of Fireside Chats. If you want more information on our upcoming health gathering taking place in Winnipeg from March 19th to the 21st, please visit our social media or our website. Thank you to our listeners, our guests, our producer, Kate Kent, Melanie Ferris, Al Foster, and everyone at SCO and NCI who has helped us put this show together. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can send us an email, media@scoinc.mb.ca. We look forward to your feedback and bringing you a new episode of Fireside Chats next week. On behalf of our entire team, I'm SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels. Miigwech padamaye for listening. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. We hope you join us next time for Fireside Chats, every Friday at 5:30, right here on NCI FM.